You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Our top story.
News Radio 1080 KRLD. Red Alert Traffic.
We're told at least two people are dead in a crash on Central Expressway this morning. As we turn now to the 1080 KRLD Traffic Center, Joyce Nielsen has details on the crash and how to avoid it.
Well, we definitely are looking at delays, of course, this accident. Freeway closure, again, our red alert, southbound 75 shut down at Renner. That's going to be in Plano because of this accident. Now, wreckers are on the scene. The backup, though, now from Legacy, a combination of that closure and the usual delays. We're looking at just over an hour's delay. Now, depending on where you are, Alma, K Avenue, or Jupiter would be alternates. Any of those roads will save you at least 30 or 35 minutes, depending on where you need to go. But again, South 75 still closed at Renner.
And we now know that crash on southbound 75 has killed multiple people.
And NBC5's Alana Quillen reports some wreckers have now arrived on the scene, and she's there.
The investigation that's been ongoing for several hours now might be coming a little closer to a close, but we were told by Richardson police that multiple people were killed and injured in this crash involving several vehicles. But this all happened just after 1 a.m. We saw badly wrecked vehicles on the scene, at least four on the roadway. Some were mangled beyond recognition. Now, this is in Richardson city limits, so Richardson police is the lead agency on this. But Plano police were also on scene assisting through this. They say their responding officers even performed CPR on the victim.
Polls are open for the final day of early voting in Texas, and it's been busy.
On the whole, early voting has gone pretty well. It's been relatively smooth.
Alicia Pierce with the Secretary of State's office now in Dallas County today. Polls are open until 9 o'clock this evening. In surrounding counties, early voting places are open until 7 tonight. For those who voted by mail, there is a new portal to track where the ballot is. There's a section on the state's website, which is votetexas.gov. Voters still have time to correct any mistakes they may have made. Next up is Election Day, which is on Tuesday, and those lines will be long, too.
We've been telling you about turnover in some congressional districts as members retire, but also talked to a member running for a third term. Republican Jake Elzey represents the 6th district that runs through a narrow stretch in Irving, Grand Prairie, and Arlington, and then opens up to cover south of the Metroplex.
Service is in my blood. I love this country, and this is my opportunity to continue to serve after 20 years in the Navy and then 6 years as a Veterans Commissioner on the Texas Veterans Commission.
He says he's working to protect Second Amendment rights and the right to life. Democratic challenger John Love III says he'd make sure women have access to health care and require background checks to buy guns.
I've always been a part of this community. My mom was born in Navarro County. Her ancestors were in Galveston, Texas, for hearing the reading of the Emancipation Proclamation on June 19, 1865.
Just one of the things that voters can look at as early voting continues today.
A new executive order signed by Governor Abbott goes into effect today. It requires local health systems to collect specific citizenship data.
Today, Texas hospitals will have to start asking patients about their citizenship status. There's a little bit of confusion and a little bit of fear surrounding this new law. Stephen Love, president and CEO of the DFW Hospital Council, says there's one thing that everyone should know clearly.
If anyone shows up at the emergency room and it's a true emergency, the hospital's going to do the right thing. They're going to treat the patient regardless of their legal immigration status or their ability to pay.
Currently, he says there are no consequences if a person does not wish to answer or answers no. From the 24-Hour News Center, Kristen Diaz, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Former Mavs Majority Governor Mark Cuban is apologizing after some comments about former President Donald Trump and women that he made on the show The View. We'll tell you about his apology in a moment, but here's what he had to say.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever.
It's just that simple. They're intimidating to him. He doesn't like to be challenged by them. And, you know, Nikki Haley will call him on his nonsense with reproductive rights and how he sees and treats and talks about women. I mean, he just can't have her around. It wouldn't work.
Overnight, Cuban apologized on X, posting this. When I said this during the interview, I didn't get it out exactly the way I thought I did, so I apologize to anyone who felt slighted or upset by my response. As I said, it wasn't about Trump voters, supporters, or employees, current or former. Cuban is supporting Harris for president.
Tucker Carlson attacked in his sleep. In a clip from an upcoming documentary, Tucker Carlson reveals he was physically attacked by a demon while asleep in his bed with his wife and four dogs a year and a half ago. He describes being mauled and left with visible claw marks on his body. He says he was unable to breathe. He discovered the marks, which he claims were not self-inflicted. He then consulted with an assistant on his staff that's an evangelical Christian who suggested he'd been attacked by a demon. Well, I'm sure the assistant on his staff would know that. Carlson says the experience left him with a transformative desire to read the Bible, but remains unsure of the reason behind the attack.
You don't think it was the dog that needed to maybe go out to the bathroom?
I don't know.
Just thrown out.
I don't know. Who do you believe in a situation like? How do you believe that? I don't know.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Eight people have been shot, two fatally, in a downtown Orlando area during a Halloween party. The suspect has been identified as a 17-year-old male who was arrested for grand theft last year. Orlando Police Chief Eric Smith says there were about 100 police officers working in the area.
Whatever his mindset was, he was going to shoot no matter what. He walked by multiple officers. We followed where he came from. He walked by at least 10 officers, walked directly by them, kept moving past the officers. So he knew what he was going to do, what he thought his mind was going to do. It's unfortunate. Some people see somebody they don't like, somebody that, you know, they have some sort of beef with.
Smith says the suspect is being questioned and they don't know his motive at this time.
Oh my goodness, we're so glad he is back. Oh, KRLD business analyst David Johnson.
I feel like one of those prairie dogs out the panhandle. I poke my head up and say, okay, is it safe to come out?
It is.
People have been blaming us. Where's David Johnson? What have you done with him? Like, we haven't done anything. It's not our fault.
September is usually a rotten month, and October is too. And I thought, well, maybe we'll just try to dodge October. Fact is, September turned out to be a really good month. In October, we just ended, and it just barely snapped a nice five-month winning streak on the S&P average. Dow was down a little over 1%, down 566. The NASDAQ was up a little bit. Right now, we're going to start higher. The Dow Industrials average looks up 130. The NASDAQ up 90. The S&P up 22. Now, that's the way to start a month. And typically, this begins the best 6 months of the stock market of the entire year, right at the beginning of November. Also, we're getting a lot of help from earnings reports that are coming out today. Chevron, which is an energy company in the Dow Industrials average, is sharply higher today. They announced big cost reductions. Exxon, which used to be there, also announced better than expected earnings. That stock's up. Intel is up sharply today. That's because the turnaround story there is going on. And Boeing is moving higher today, not because of earnings, because they've got yet another agreement with the rank and file that they think this time might get everybody back to work. This is a strike that's costing them $1 billion a month, and it started right in the middle of September. The exception is Apple. It's down a couple of dollars early on. No real guidance on phone sales. The service sector missed a little bit, but we'll see if we can turn that around. Now, all of this is preliminary because we're right in advance of the all-important employment numbers. We're looking for the unemployment rate to be 4.1%. But here's the rub. We're looking also for the slowest job gains in 4 years. Yeah, we'll see what we've got when we come back in just a few minutes. But right now looks good. We'll talk to you just on the other side of the half hour. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
We're glad you're back. Thank you, DJ. Happening right now, wreckers are loading up the crashed vehicles and crews are sweeping up the debris on the southbound lanes of 75 near the Bush Turnpike. This after a fatal overnight crash.
Election Day is 4 days away, and aside from the Oval Office, all 435 seats in the U.S. House are up for grabs. Republicans currently control the House with a slim margin, 220 seats to the Democrats, 212 seats.
There are a lot of key races that could flip control of the House. CBS's Scott McFarlane, always covering Congress, and has a preview of some of those big races. Scott, what are you looking at in these last few days before the election?
It's easy to lose track of this storyline, but the control of the U.S. House is as much a toss-up as the presidential race. It's as unknown as who's going to win the White House. And, of course, whoever controls the House can hamstring or very much help a future President Harris or a future President Trump. So the stakes are high. By our CBS News estimates, as we conclude this week, there are about roughly three dozen really competitive battleground U.S. House races. If there's any one little swing here or there, it goes Republican or it goes Democrat. The margin for error right now is basically just four seats. And I'm watching most closely about a half dozen competitive races in, of all places, New York, and a half dozen more in California. It's not just those presidential battleground states. It's elsewhere for the House.
We don't normally hear a lot of the presidential candidates pitching in and on the congressional races. Obviously, both candidates came here to Texas to talk about the Senate race, notably last week. But have we heard any of that along the way from either of the candidates, endorsing some of these key candidates?
It's really important in the Republican primaries to have that Trump endorsement. It's almost a silver bullet, almost, in so many of these competitive races. That includes Texas. That's true elsewhere, too. Having the vice president's endorsement certainly helps Democrats. But it's more the institutional muscle they can put behind. You know, when Donald Trump makes a visit to Albuquerque, it's a blue state, but it sure does help the Republican trying to win that congressional seat in New Mexico. When Vice President Harris goes to West Michigan, that's important because there's a U.S. House race there Democrats are trying to cling on to, and she brings some energy, some support, and maybe some new voters out. And I think that's the type of thing that really can swing things. It's those visits. It's the institutional muscle they put into those districts.
CBS's Scott McFarlane joining us live.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.